بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله، الحمد لله، نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، respected elders and dear brothers, today South Africans are celebrating what is known as Heritage Day. Heritage refers to the cultures, the traditions, refers to the legacy that a certain community, a certain people, a certain nation has left behind, and others now celebrate that culture, others celebrate that legacy, others, those who follow, celebrate those traditions. For us as Muslims, we are interested in the legacy, the heritage that was left behind by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because we do not have a specific day in the year on which we are going to celebrate that culture, or we are going to celebrate that lifestyle. Our everyday life and our every moment, from the time we go get up in the morning right until we go to sleep in the evening, we are required as Muslims to live the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So you find certain people who belong to certain nations or certain cultures and who have adopted certain traditions. Throughout the year, they do not wear their traditional clothing. Throughout the year, they do not eat perhaps their traditional food. But on Heritage Day, they will ensure that they put on their traditional clothing and they put on their cultural dress to show their affiliation to that culture, to that tradition. But the moment that day passes or that public holiday comes to an end, that tradition or that culture or that mark or that dress, whatever else it may be, they abandon it until the next Heritage Day comes. But for Muslims, our every day should be immersed in the culture, the tradition, the legacy, the lifestyle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we do not confine it to one day. There isn't a specific day in the year when we put on the traditional or the Islamic dress of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or we start practicing Islam just to show our affiliation to Islam. But we are Muslims. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has left us with a living legacy. That was the heritage of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we celebrate that legacy or that lifestyle every single day of our life. It's a practical and the most simple lifestyle to follow, and that of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said that the Anbiya, they do not leave behind, in terms of legacy, they do not leave behind wealth. The Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam, they did not leave behind any inheritance that was distributed amongst the earth. إِنَّمَا وَرَّثُ الْعِلْمِ. What do they leave behind? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said that the Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam, their legacy and their inheritance and what they leave behind is ilm, knowledge. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has referred to his teachings and his ahadith and his sunnah and his practices and whatever he has left behind in terms of knowledge as his personal inheritance that he has left behind for the ummah. And we all have a share in that. And that is why we should be concerned about receiving our share. think about our worldly affairs. When someone dies, a family member passes away, the heirs are concerned about their share of inheritance, especially if it is a large amount or is it a large sum, or there's an heir who's really in need of a share in that inheritance. You will find that the heir, he will be constantly concerned, and that heir, he knows that I have a right in this inheritance. I have a right in the estate. I cannot go to sleep. I cannot rest. I cannot allow my right to be taken away from me. I'm not prepared to give up that right, my share of the inheritance, my share of the estate. And this constant effort until he receives his share of the estate. That is our behavior. That is our attitude. That is our concern for something material and for the estate or for the wealth and the possessions of a family relative of ours. We should have this same level, in fact to a greater extent, of concern for my share of the estate of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, I have left behind inheritance, my legacy, in the form of ilm, in the form of knowledge. We all have a share in that. And we should all be concerned about receiving it. We should all have that worry. And we should all be eager to get our share of the estate of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There are so many ahadith that we can study. So many prophetic teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that we can learn from, that we can benefit from. Wallahi, every single hadith and every single statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will be of greater benefit to us than the wealth we receive or the property that we receive or the assets that we receive through inheritance or through the passing away of a person. Every hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is priceless. Today I would like to share with you one of these ahadith. Consider this as a share of your inheritance of the legacy of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because this is what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left behind for us. And this is what we need to learn and study and acquire to ensure that we have received a good share of the inheritance and the legacy left behind by our Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is a fascinating hadith. It's a beautiful hadith. Every hadith is so beautiful. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam always provides us with practical teachings. Things that we can implement in our day-to-day lives. This hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he teaches it to his young cousin. This is a young child. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhumah. Let us speak about this youngster. And let us try and be inspired, especially the youngsters who are seated here today. Let us try and be inspired by this young man, Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhumah. We know he turned out to be the greatest scholar of this ummah. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhumah. Who was he? He was the son of Al-Abbas. Abdullah was the son of Al-Abbas. Who was Al-Abbas? Al-Abbas was the uncle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The paternal uncle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Abdullah ibn Abbas, he was the cousin of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But he was much, much younger than the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was born, Abdullah, the son of Al-Abbas, he was born 3 years before the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's migration to Madinah to Munawwara. Which means, he was born when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was 53 years old. That's when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam migrated to Madinah to Munawwara, when he was 53 years old. That is when Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu was born. 3 years before the migration, which means Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was 50 years old, and that is when Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu was born. So at the time of narrating this hadith, he must have been, according to the scholars, he was about 9 years old. 9 years old. And when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away, he was 13 years of age. You know, when we hear the name Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala, we picture this old scholar, or we picture this old man, or a senior sahabi of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was only 13 years old when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away. Such a young man. But he was so inspired by the Nabi of Allah. And he was so motivated by the Nabi of Allah, that after the passing away of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he made sure he got a full share of the legacy of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that inheritance that we are speaking about. Young man, 13 years old, but he was driven and he was motivated. And in fact, a friend of his once made a comment to him, "You are 13 years old. What are you going to acquire? What are you going to achieve? You want to be like Abu Bakr? And you want to be like Umar?" They are senior sahaba. His young friend, they were playing together. He made this comment to Ibn Abbas, because Ibn Abbas, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, 13 years of age, he tells his young friend that, "Listen, let us go and learn." He told his friend. His friend said, What do you mean, let us go and learn? Do you think people will come and benefit from you? You are a kid. You're just a kid." And that is what he was. He was no more than a kid. He was a child. His friend told him, "There, you have Abu Bakr, you have Umar, you have Ali, you have Uthman, radiallahu ta'ala anhum. People will go to them, no one will come to your feet, you're only a kid." He left that friend of his. He left that friend, and he says, "You have become an impediment between me and my share of the legacy left behind by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." And he then went, and he sat at the feet of these great sahaba. And the day came where the ummah sat at the feet of Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So this is who this young man was. He was given the title Al-Bahr. Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu was given the title Al-Bahr. What does Al-Bahr mean? The ocean. He was an ocean of knowledge. A Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made a dua for him. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the importance to make dua for our children. We're speaking about the legacy of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's Heritage Day. People are celebrating the legacy, the heritage, the culture left behind by those who came before them. We are concerned about our share and our portion of the legacy and the tradition left behind by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's what concerns us, because we have to live by it every day of our lives. Not only one day during the year. So Rasulullah made this beautiful dua for Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma. "Allahumma faqihhu fi deen wa 'allimhu ta'wil." Oh Allah, grant him the understanding of deen. And oh Allah, you teach him the interpretation of the Quran. And Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma became the greatest scholar of tafsir of Quran. Whenever you wish to make tafsir or understand or explain a verse of the Quran, we first go to the view and the opinion amongst the Sahaba, to the view and the opinion of Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala. He narrated from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam 1,660 ahadith. 1,660 ahadith that he heard from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What a huge chunk of the legacy he had received. And that was not a time when the hadith were received on a mobile device, daily hadith, so it was easy to memorize, or he could just go up and Google it and find the hadith, or he could go to a library and take a book and memorize the hadith. No, that was a time where for one hadith, people had to travel. For one hadith, they would travel months on end, weeks on end, days on end. Why? That legacy. That is my share of the legacy. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, "I have left, this is my legacy." Today it's so easy for us to receive our share of the inheritance and the legacy of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We are receiving daily ahadith, perhaps, via the different social media platforms. If I take one hadith a day, or not a day, even a week, I say, "This hadith, this is my share." Consider it your share. Like I said, We pay so much importance to our share of the estate when someone dies, and our share of the wealth when someone passes away, and our share of the inheritance when someone leaves this world. We should be paying a great deal of importance and attaching far more importance to that legacy left behind by the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is there for all of us. We are all shareholders in that. But it is not going to be taken and given to you. You need to earn it and acquire it. So Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, 1,660 hadith. He heard from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he had narrated it to us. What a great, great favor he had done to us. 13 years old, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa passed away. So look at that young man. Even during his young day, he ensured that he benefited from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He passed away in Ta'if. Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma is not buried in Madinatul Munawwara or in Makkatul Mukarrama. He passed away in Ta'if at the age of 68. 68 years old when he passed away. He narrates this beautiful hadith to you and I. So how old is he? He's 9 years old. قَالَ كُنْتُ خَلْفَ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ وَسَلَّمْ. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was one day riding a mule. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was riding this mule, and he saw the young man, his cousin, Abdullah ibn Abbas, 9-year-old youngster. He saw him walking. So he told Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, jump onto the animal with me. Get behind me. Sit behind me. What do we learn from this? The humility of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahu Akbar. What humility? The Nabi of Allah has this high status, this high level that he enjoys, and this position that he enjoys in the sight of Allah, but he does not deem it below his status to make this young child sit behind him. The humility of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he takes this young boy, his cousin, he makes him sit behind him. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam imparts some very, very important advices to him. For you and I, as fathers especially, let us start planting the seeds of faith, the seeds of iman, the seeds of yaqeen, the seeds of tawakkul and trust in Allah, the seeds of tarbiyah and upbringing into our youngsters from a very young age. He's 9 years old, and we go through the advices the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam imparts towards him. Use every opportunity to impart this to your children, to inculcate within them the love for Allah, to inculcate within them the greatness of Allah, to inculcate within them the mercy of Allah. How important it is for us to speak to them about this, especially during this age in which we live. This is a very, very challenging time for them. It is really not easy for them, for our youngsters growing up in this time and in this age. There are so many challenges that they have ahead of them. It is for us from a young age. Look, with everything else, we start at a young age, which is good. You know, we would like to get them involved in some sporting activity or in some training program. This is good. So long as it's done within the confines of Sharia, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has taught us, and Umar radiallahu ta'ala, who strongly advised us, that get your children swimming. Get them swimming from a young age. And teach them horse riding. Teach them archery from a young age. Get them involved in these type of activities. Very, very important. So long as, again, it's done within the confines of Sharia. You're going to teach the child how to swim, but the child must now, on the other hand, not be exposed to nudity, must not be exposed to haram, must not be exposed to things that will taint that impressionable mind of the child. So with everything else, mashallah, alhamdulillah, we feel that we should start at a young age. But what about the tarbiyah of the child? The upbringing of the child in terms of the child's relationship with Allah. That is given priority. And that's why when the child is born, the first words that the child hears are the words of what? The words of the Adhan. The first word that the child hears, Allahu Akbar. Allah is the greatest. You have come into this world, Allahu Akbar. Allah is the greatest. Already, there's a message for you and I, that do not delay. So here you have this youngster, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is transporting this youngster. You and I, every morning perhaps, you are driving your kid to school, you are taking your child to school. That moments you have with the child, during those moments, you can ask the child to repeat some simple sentences. Allah loves you. Allah cares for you. Allah feeds you. Allah looks after you. Allah is the most merciful. Allah is the most kind. If you have any need, my child, ask Allah. Let them repeat this thing. It goes a very, very, very long way. Their minds are very impressionable. But you have that responsibility of introducing them to Allah. That is the underlying objective of the relationship you share with your child. What's the underlying objective? Allah put that child in your life. There are many objectives. But the primary objective, the main reason, is so that you may open up that child's eyes to Allah. How often do our discussions with our children revolve around Allah? Sometimes we find it, we feel uncomfortable to speak to them about Allah. We find it difficult. We can't even interact with them if it comes to speaking about Allah, speaking about the love for Allah, speaking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's beautiful, beautiful attributes. Let them memorize these attributes of Allah. Beautiful attributes of Allah. Let them grow up loving Allah. Instill within them the love for Allah. You see a youngster who is 16, 17 years old, he loves soccer, or he loves cricket, or he loves swimming. Why? Ask him why. I started playing soccer at the age of 3. I started holding a bat at the age of 4. My father got me into the water at the age of 5 or at the age of 6. So he grows up with that. And now at that age, 18, 19, he appreciates that skill. And he appreciates what his father did for him. From a young age, my father introduced me to this activity. I've fallen in love with this activity. From a young age, introduce your child to Allah. For Allah's sake. Start from a young age. Introduce them to the love of Allah. Let them fall in love with Allah. That's what we need to do. Let them love Allah. Allah should not just be some imaginary being who they know is in control of everything. Let them realize that they can rely on Allah, they can depend on Allah, they can speak to Allah, that they need Allah. And imagine the child grows up with that. Whatever he becomes later on in life. But you have now planted the seed of Allah's love in the child, of in the heart of the child. So tomorrow when he hears, Allah has asked me to pray 5 times a day, the child will pray 5 times a day. Not because he's forced to, but because he grew up loving Allah. This Allah loves me. Why should I not do what this Allah wants from me? This Allah cares for me. Why should I not do what this Allah cares? What should I not do for this Allah who cared for me throughout my life? So that's the first point. We learn from this. That Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teaches us that from a young age, introduce your child to Allah. Let your child hear the name of Allah. Your child will fall in love. You know, sometimes we find that the child is now a teenager and we want the child to start loving the Quran. First, make the child fall in love with the author of the Quran. Make him fall in love with Allah. When he falls in love with the author of the Quran, will he not want to love the book of Allah, the Quran? Let him fall in love with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Speak to him about the Nabi of Allah. telling him about what a compassionate man he was, what love he had for children, what a wonderful character he had. Yes, I understand sometimes, like I said, we find it hard to share these sentiments or to share this with our children because we were perhaps, for whatever reason, not brought up in that way. Our parents did not do it with us, so we do not know how to do it with our children. But it is so simple, it is so easy. If we just take one hadith, as I said, and share that hadith with the child, take one book on seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it will go a long, long way, and we owe it to our children. Today is Heritage Day, when you celebrate the legacy of others that came before us. What legacy are you and I leaving? In as far as our children are concerned, what legacy? Let us ask ourselves that question. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the understanding. The beautiful hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that was the first lesson from that hadith, inshaAllah. We will complete this hadith and the beautiful explanation and the lessons that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught to Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and how we can learn from these lessons and also impart it, especially to the youngsters and to our children whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has left in our care as trust. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.